Today's reading is coming from Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said this would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now quickly go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, 'Jesus, disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so that you won't get into trouble.'" So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even unto the end of the age."
So, happy Easter. Happy Easter, lovely people. Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah for that. Today I'm going to talk back through the joys and the sorrows of the Easter story. But first, shall we just share a moment of quiet? As quiet as it gets in my garden. They say that death has no hold, has lost its sting, has no power, is nothing at all. Yet I'm not so sure. For me, missing at the centre of these expressions is the flattening cry, the guttural loss, the honesty of grieving. Why would Jesus weep with Mary and Martha if death's impact counted for nothing? Death changes stuff. It may not be the end, but it's the end of some chapter. It's the end of some hope, some expectation, even if those are misplaced. It marks the importance of a place of change and the transformation in our lives. Grieving is a weighty and messy business quite often, and I appreciated what I learnt of the tender grieving in Uganda, where when someone died, we would go to the family home and we'd sit with our friends and around the body, and we'd bring food to share, we'd weep together, we'd pray blessings and celebrate the preciousness of life and relationship, often for 3 or 4 days. It was an opening and it's an openly somber and sobering process that makes you focus on the importance of love and loss. Death is a point of time that produces many new actions, new emotions, sometimes new determination, or a new apathy. And it often brings confusion for us. There is a reorganization that offers us a surreal new wisdom that comes only from weeping and desolation. If you are grieving this morning, we are with you in solidarity, in spirit, at the depth of the human condition that we all share. And this is the pain and the mess that we sit with on the first Easter. The disciples are dealing with the shock and the trauma of seeing their friend having given up everything of their lives to follow him, their only hope, brutalized, tortured, and crucified. Why? Why crucified with no charge? Why the cross? Why not prison for a while? Why could the crowds not put up with who Jesus was or his words? He was not harming them, was he? Crucifixion was public, the Roman way to show their strength. Crucifixion and walking those stations of the cross offered people an open look at the hate and brutality that we enjoy. Was crucifixion and all that went with it the weight of our sin? Was this type of death really the only way humanity might see the depth of what we do to ourselves and each other every day? The depth of also of God's love to the bottom of it all, so that we might more carefully choose our path. This walk to the cross and the few days afterwards changed everything for all of us. Before, during, and since, the event that transformed time, even if you don't believe in God, it's the year of 2021, and we are counting from Jesus. So a big chunk of humanity plots days by way of a simple bloke from Nazareth. The crux of the matter for all of us is that Jesus died and showed us that we are called to follow him on the same road in giving up our lives for each other as he did. And it's a perilous path of love and suffering. This was a seismic event that shakes up the world. These few days of crucifixion and resurrection splitting the two ages of humanity. All of our suffering and sadism met by the love, mercy, and humility of God. All the sin, shame, self-condemnation that can suck up your life today was put down and dealt with publicly on that hill, on that main road into Jerusalem for all to see. Following Jesus means the death of self, self-centre, self-obsession, self-congratulation, selfishness. All of us on this voyage of life through death, of giving up self for the love of the other. This is Easter. The wide open arms of Jesus on the cross embracing us in our ways, saving us from our need to hate, showing us the God-given beauty of life and bringing us into the harmony of his tender community for the glory of love itself. What event was this? Jesus the Christ. Mind-blowing? Yes. Weird stuff? Yes. Moving to reflect on how much God loves you and me, risking everything that we might return to him who made us for love. So let's go back to Friday night now and have a look at what it must have been like after Jesus was killed. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So, patiently waiting in devastation on the Saturday, the women and the men who had followed Jesus for 2 or 3, maybe 4 more years, are left with their thoughts and feelings about his death. The women and the disciples followed the tradition, keeping the Sabbath holy. perhaps sitting together frightened and confused, hiding themselves away from what might happen to them, being followers of Jesus. And so we come to early Sunday morning, while it was still dark. Someone is walking in the landscape outside the city walls near Golgotha. Can you see them? Maybe you can shut your eyes and imagine them. They walk the track down through the grounds and they find their way through a strange garden among olives, almond trees, pine. What are they wearing? Are they quiet or are they talking? What are the smells that fill the air? These must be the women come to sweeten the dead body of Jesus crucified. They must have loved him a lot to risk going to a guarded tomb. Do their faces show pain, despair, determination? How are they walking? Slowly? Or are they in a hurry? It's a warm morning. Or is it still too early for the sun to have crimsoned the earth? You watch them as they glide and they pass by where you're sitting. They don't see you as they're carrying pots with herbs and ointments for burial. They carry on their way in their sadness and their longing. Did the ground shake? An angel like lightning from heaven roll back the stone of the tomb? Did the frightened guards become like dead men and then scatter? Did a body once dead breathe air once more? Was there someone sitting upright on the slab of stone, blood marking their palms? Did they smile with the Father? You sneak up closer, amazed at the strangeness of the morning. One woman was crying outside the tomb, and then an angel spoke. "Why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. And the angel, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." What craziness. The women rush away from the tomb. They look kind of dazzled, falling over as they move. In a hurry, one bumps into a man, and we can hear the entire conversation. "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me, where have you put him? And I will get him." "Mary." She seems to have recognized him. She cries out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. It's Jesus himself with whom she speaks. "Go to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the good news. "I have seen the Lord." So Easter, the feast of hope, breaking apart our fear of death. This is my body broken for you. This is not just a story about life and death and life of Jesus of Nazareth. This is our common hope. This is the gift of life that includes death, suffering and failure. If only the seed falls to the ground, it will bear much fruit. If it doesn't fall, then only one seed remains. So the shell must crack open before the expanded growth can happen. And this is what we're also called to do. As Paul puts it, to die to self. "I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Anyone who wants to save his life must lose it. Anyone who loses her life will find it. Today we lay down our lives and breathe in the life of Christ, to share his love, our hope placed in his palms. We see in our communities signs that people have been losing hope, negativity and cynicism, despair and loneliness. We have been living for ourselves, have we? Missing the point of the Easter story. We are made to give ourselves up and live for each other, made to live a life of hope based in relationship, made to follow Jesus through the dark valleys in communion with Father and Spirit, made to resist cynicism, see it, recognize it, and walk a different path, one of the bounteous gifts of self-giving love. Christian faith is saying that the pattern that connects us is death, not avoided, but transformed. Death and resurrection, loss and renewal. For us, that's tricky, as we really like to avoid the suffering bit, the surrender of self bit. We learn to submit to the pattern usually only because we're forced to, because expectation demands it. Not expectation, but situations demand it. A global pandemic, long COVID, relationships that are very difficult for us to live with, the loss of a job, the illness of a close friend or a family member. Jesus literally submitted unto death and came through without blame, without self-pity, without anger, without wanting revenge. What is that extreme forgiveness that he doesn't mention what he's been through? No need has he for hate, as he has no fear in him. So he is our guide, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In Uganda, I lived with this woman, Lillian. Can you see her? She taught me so much about this life transformed through death and into life, giving up yourself. And to an impressionable 22-year-old, let me show you what I look like as a 22-year-old. It's quite funny. Very young. As an impressionable 22-year-old, into the woman I am now, even today, those lessons that she taught me of life, and modelling the wholeness of life, witnessed through the joy of resurrection bubbling with the suffering of our days, the joyful bubbling of the resurrection even through the suffering of our days. So vivid with Jesus, a seismic event in our hearts, hard to put into words, but wholly real, the resurrection. I am woke to his love in me today. And I pray the same for you. Each time we surrender ourselves, we are led to a deeper level with him. It's like a leap of faith to walk through those dark valleys with Jesus. Yet divine life is so big, so deep, so indestructible that it is able to include death. And Jesus is our liberation plan for each of our lives, holding his hand. He will guide us through. But if we ignore him, then we're ignoring life itself. Jesus holds the universal pain of humanity and refuses to reject it. This is the atonement, or at-one-ment, as Julian of Norwich used to call oneing us at one with our loving God. The newness of life resurrected is a fresh take on how humanity can live at one with our Lord, that he has us safe. Behold, I'm making all things new. I have seen the Lord. Happy, happy Easter, friends. You are well loved. And to finish off today, I'd really like to read a poem by my lovely friend Tony Newell. It's called Waiting, and he wrote this last year at this time. It goes well with God's Easter love for each of us, his liberation plan for you and for me. We wait alone We wait. No crowds. No roads strewn with branches. No cloaks thrown down. We wait. No loud chorus of Hosanna. No joyful marching. We wait. You waited. Alone. You waited on a cross. No one understood why. No hope was seen. You waited. No dignity in the mocking. No comfort. Just pain. You waited. For the Father's timing. For purpose fulfilled. You waited. For creation to be ready. For love's pure plan. You waited. They waited. You died. They waited. Confused. Your body taken away. Buried in a cave. They waited. Fear of being found. Hiding alone. They waited. No more waiting. Alive. No more waiting. Rejoice. The Father's plan revealed. Our hope in you. No more waiting. The door of heaven is open. New life for all. No more waiting.